Leviticus 14. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. I want you to notice something. Again, I've told you so often that when the definite article is used in the Hebrew, it's a singular, unique day. It's, in your mind, it must be as the asset time. It's going to take place once in your lifetime. From this point forward after tonight, nothing can be excused. You understand? Nothing can be excused. No raw flesh can be excused under any circumstances. Everybody understand that? The singular day of his cleansing.
What I was thinking was...
When I waved him out of thought.
I'm right under your children. Is that it? Anyway, I speak unto you who know the law. You know, when you first start saying it, it's like, golly, this is law stuff. But unless you know the law...
You can't know grace.
You can't know grace. So I've always kind of rejected...
Kind of a little bit.
What you wanted is slack, not grace.
Slack, yeah.
Do you understand that Bible study in its truest form, when you get beyond the milk of the Word, when you get to the meat of the Word, Bible study is facing the judgment seat of God. That if you come before the judgment seat of God with anything other than Christ is my life, hallelujah, then you face the judgment seat whereby you are judged by your works. Anything other than Christ is my life must be seen as that which is to be repented of, not that which is to be coddled, that which is to be excused, that which is to be justified. It's something that you say, Father, forgive me. For those of you that weren't here last night, I would highly, highly, highly recommend you listen to last night's tape. The battle is in your mind. Present yourself the living sacrifice in order that you would be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewal of the mind is singular. Christ is my life. It's finished. Everybody have perfect clarity on this point? Otherwise, we can't read any finer. This isn't the only time that I can cause you to be in a state of fear, or that you will be in a fear, in a state of fear, in this Bible study, is when you are in a position of justifying yourself.
Yeah.
You got it? You don't want to do that anymore. And God has so exercised our senses by all that we've been through for all these many years, so that the taste, the smell of justification becomes so odious to you that you cannot stand it. Now, if you're coming in now knowing you're a leper, sick of the quick raw flesh, tired of the attempts to gain righteousness and worth and justification, then the hardest words I can put on you can only produce joy unspeakable. If there's any quick raw flesh scene that isn't said, that for which you haven't said, Father, forgive me, then you should rightly be in a state of life and death fear, because I am about to do you more harm than you've ever dreamed possible. I'm not speaking lightly. If you are in a state where you are not in total contentment in the state that you're in, and if you cannot say, I'm not asking you to be in total contentment. What I'm asking you to be able to say is, the areas that I'm not in total contentment is a sin against the Father. Therefore, forgive me, Father. I promise you something with everything in me, that if you can hear tonight, God will give you the desires of your heart and you will know joy unspeakable. If you cannot hear tonight, you better leave. Think about it. I want you to carefully consider what I've said. If there is any condition in your life in which you are in at this moment for which you desire more than you have at this moment, and you cannot say, Father, forgive me, then you better leave.
My last book.
Yeah.
You're sitting on it.
This shall be the law of the leper the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. The natural mind will see that word healed and say, hallelujah, I look just like everybody else. The spiritual man will look at that word healed and see that he is white with leprosy. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And the looking of the priest was in the positions of his labor, in the positions of his life. Understand?
The position of his labor?
Remember all the positions that they inspected it? The
bending over,
the bending over and the...
As you're,
now, you've had, from our standpoint, all of the time since we've stopped talking about this formal study has been the one day when the priest has been looking. Understand? Now, I say unto you, I see you're leprous, that you are white. From the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. Are you in agreement with that? And I need a sincere amen.
Amen.
I can never hear your amens. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. The priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose, hallelujah, into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave it off. And he shall wash his clothes, so he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day, hallelujah, he shall take two he-lambs without blemish, and an ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest shall make him clean, and the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean in those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take 1 he-lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and a log of oil and wave offering for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering, and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger into the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in that priest's hands he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. Now, just as an aside, this is why we haven't been able to study the burnt offering, because the burnt offering can't be presented until now. Okay? The reason it can't be presented is because you haven't been in the right place, in time or in place. You understand? In space and time, you've been in the wrong place. Everything we're about to do has to do with what the true meaning of redeeming the time is. But also, we'll see what the true meaning of redeeming the place or redeeming the land is. Okay? And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor, cannot get so much, then he shall take 1 lamb for a trespass offering to be waved, to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves, or young pigeons, such as he is able to get. And the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the 8th day for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb. See, even if you're poor, the poorest of the poor, you still have to bring the lamb for the trespass offering. Understand that? We'll get into that more in a minute.
That's the only trespass offering?
Huh?
That's the only trespass offering is the lamb?
Well, you shall bring it for this. This is, remember, either what we're reading here is the most stupid, obscene, bloody ritual that you could imagine, or it's something of such a momentous importance you better understand it. I mean, okay, and I'm going to read the whole thing, then we're going to go through it. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot,
And the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before the Lord. And the priest shall put the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of his right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, and upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hands he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer one, he shall offer the one of the turtle doves, or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering, with the meat offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. Now, the two requirements at the front end of this and at the back end of this are the ones that are the critical issues. The first one we've dealt with, that you've agreed that you're in a state of total and complete leprosy. That even if you go through this process of being cleansed, that when you will from now on and forevermore be unacceptable in the world. You will be the offscoring of all things. That from this point forward, when your mind or your heart brings forth a desire, no matter how righteous that desire may seem, no matter how important to your well-being it may appear, it must be confessed instantly as sin. There's no more scheming, there's no more mind talk. That the act of the mind from this moment forth, which sits and considers that the words are properly formulated before they're expressed, considers the implication of saying those words, is raw flesh. That I don't care if from now on you speak in baby talk, that if no one around you can understand you, but there's never again an excuse for not bubbling forth whatever is at you in that moment. Even though, when we do so, you may sound like a babbling idiot. If you stop and consider your words, or consider the impact on your hearers, then you've allowed quick, raw flesh to appear. If you stop, and even the natural thing that all men do, of formulating your thoughts before they're expressed, it's quick raw flesh. It's the tie-in to these two things is the walls of Jericho will fall. Got it? Now, the other half of this, the other end, is that you all realize that by your own hand, you're incapable of cleansing. Do you really understand what that means? Don't you understand in the spirit, every time you sit and formulate a plan,
matter how much it may seem to be to do with business or nice things, all it is in the spirit is you attempting to cleanse yourself. Got it? You really have it?
Probably not.
Plans are like that because they're an attempt to make us get some standing in the future, to be in some place.
Some admiration.
What can be anything? Admiration, security, anything. It's just all of it is that it's a. You've looked unto the hills for help. The hills in the spirit are always the high place. What the essence of last night's study was, it was the sixth labor of Hercules.
I don't think we want to hear this.
And that it was, and it was the killing of the birds. And the birds were the demons. And all of you, demons are romantic, even if they scare the hell out of you. Well, first of all, they can't scare you anymore. Now all authority in heaven and earth is given over to you because you're going to be in the place and the time of that authority. But secondly, demons are just the brother of your high place identity. And they're the brother of Antichrist. So, your going to the hills for your help, which is going to your mind, your imaginations, is simply going to demons. Or their brother. Or their sister. My help cometh only from the Lord. My sustenance cometh only from the Lord. I will not fear the faces of men. My face is set like flint to go up to Jerusalem. Amen?
Well, I got a question. This came up when you talked about, when you used the word planning. I'm very, very clear on planning, scheming. I know what it is. I'm clear on that. But this is my question. And this morning is an example of it. Frequently I find this happening, and I enjoy it. This morning I'm sitting out in the back having a cup of coffee, smoking a cigarette, and I became aware that I was seeing how the boards would go together on a grape arbor. I do that a lot. And I enjoyed that. And what you said about planning, that came to mind. There's stuff that I know is planning and scheming and devising and imaginations. But this is an activity that I hope is different. I don't know if it is or not. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I see how something goes together, be it nails and boards or two pieces of videotape, and I enjoy that.
Not only do you enjoy it, but you relish it.
Yeah.
Because it makes you special and you can't wait to tell somebody. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. This is the essence of it. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Now, read 2 Corinthians 10. But I want you to understand that the fruit of this is that there is no longer a distinction of thought. There's no longer a thought that's more important than another thought. There's no longer an emotion that's more important than another emotion. For you have been purchased totally and completely by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, there is no thought that you can think that isn't Christ. You understand that? What's the difference between the thought that you can think and what we call planning?
It's the respect we give to the plans.
We respect the thoughts. You understand?
I'm not sure. You mean distinguish between two or more thoughts and decide one is better than the other? One is to be held onto and the other let go?
Okay? Bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. That means that there is no thought that you can have that isn't to be poured out. There's no thought that you gotta hear this. The difference is you no longer look to the hills for your sustenance. Whatsoever you say shall be done for you. You understand normally when you sit around and think about stuff, you sit around and plan it, that every element of that thought process defines your separation.
I know it leads that way. Well, you carry it long enough, you see it.
But it's already there.
Yeah, it may already be there, but I mean...
if you take it long enough, you'll see it.
Yeah.
And the reason is that you are a respecter of thoughts. That every thought isn't taken in captivity to the obedience of Christ. You don't see that every thought... I mean, I don't want to scare you, but it's only now that we can begin. You understand?
What is the full obedience of Christ?
That there is no thing in you, thought, word, or deed, that isn't the Father. You'll be tested like a son of a bitch. Can you understand what I'm saying?
So it kind of pinpoints our areas of worship. In this process, we'll see what it is we hold high.
What it is you esteem.
Despise.
What it is you despise.
What's good, what's evil.
What's good, what's evil. What's revelation, what's not revelation. What's
spiritual.
Spiritual and natural. This spiritualizes the natural.
Yeah.
This makes all things equal before the Father. And this is for which they will crucify him.
The cleansing that was done in terms of the blood and
we're not there yet. I just read the.
You were scheming.
Okay. Okay, but I'm just saying that we haven't gone in. I'm going through one step by step this process in a minute. If that's okay.
Well, I simply want to ask a question of what we previously have read in Leviticus.
that the anointing of the oil and the blood on the ear. And the
that's what we're going to get into. Trust me. This is the law of him in whom the plague of leprosy is, or who is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his or her cleansing. You don't have to remember anything else. I'll remind you of this. You don't have to worry about it. Okay, now we're going to go through the process. First thing is, each of you must bring a new earthenware flask. One for which you have experienced body, soul, spirit, the meaning of baptism. Behold, all things are become new.
I don't understand what the connection is between that and baptism.
When Jesus Christ was baptized, he walked down to the Jordan. From anybody's looking at him, he looked just like anybody else. He went under the water as Son of Man and Son of God. He came out of the water a new creation. Son of Man was left under the sea, and only Son of God emerged.
I had never seen where it said, "This day have I begotten thee," before. I never even seen that. It wasn't, before then, he was not begotten.
You understand? So, all of you have been baptized now, right? All of you have been baptized, body, soul, and spirit, and you've been baptized not in a ceremonial act, but you now know that you were in the same position as Jesus Christ. Now, right now, each of you have just come out of the water, and you see the heavens open, and you hear the voice of the angel. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This day have I begotten you." A new earthenware flask. Everything else was left under the sea. If you bring anything up, then you are looked at from the judgment seat. If you leave everything down, then you're only looked at as the mercy seat. Because the Father looks at you, and he sees you as the apple of his eye, the image of his creation.
What do you mean if you leave everything down?
Everything.
Underwater.
Everything. Under the water. Everything about you as Son of Man has been gone. Now you're in a new earthenware flask. Can everybody accept that? Now the flask then is filled with living water. It has to be filled with water from an ever-flowing spring. You see the connection? This is by faith. This is where faith hits the road. This is where faith stops being a commodity and faith becomes life. By declaration of the Father, you are now a new earthenware vessel, and you are filled with living water.
Yeah. What's in there is.
Yeah.
No matter what anyone else may say to you, including your mind.
Now, the greatest enemies of this from now on will be those of your own household. And I've told you before, I will be your greatest enemy.
I did.
Do you understand now this stuff about test?
Mm-hmm. And you've got to be our enemy in that place, because if you don't and allow something to hang around that's not that, you're...
You want to take it? You want a new press?
I may have an activant for Allison, that's a decongestant would be the best. Look at Chuck, if it's an actual decongestant.
Okay, now, two undomestic, well, let me wait a minute. Would you get her a glass of water, please, Tom?
Take six.
You got to understand now that this is independent of pain, of periods, of halting flesh, of age, of appearance, of anything.
What are you exactly saying? I don't want to go out here and not be centered on the same thing that you're talking about right now. Talking about a new condition after you come up, and a way of perceiving.
Listen,
whatever comes to you.
Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God from His conception, from His birth. In fact, from before the foundation of the world. He wasn't declared the only begotten Son until He came forth out of baptism.
He realized it when it was declared.
And He realized it when it was stated by a voice from the place where it was true.
Because what?
Because that's the way.
No,
the
I mean,
cookie
what,
crumbles.
What happened to the baptism? No, I mean, what happened? I mean, because what had happened up into the baptism
was just Him being just like you have been all these years.
Right.
You got that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, what happened? I mean, why was the baptism?
To fulfill all righteousness. To end the oblation. To end the sacrifice. Yes. To end the idea that there could be any thought of cleansing Himself. To end the idea of any element that He could raise Himself from the dead. To end the idea that He was anything other as Son of Man than totally leprous. Now this will get you killed when you tell Christ was totally leprous. But He had to be.
What says it in Isaiah?
Got it?
I feel like.
You have always been what I am declaring to you tonight. You have never been anything else. You have always been the apple of His eye, the image of His creation. You have always been perfect in His eyes. You have always been cleansed. You're not forgiven because you ask for confession. I mean, because you confess. You confess. The fact that you confess is the evidence that you've always been forgiven. Baptism is only an external act to put on, to experience that which has been eternally true. You were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. You were always perfect. This is how the mind is defeated. This is how the evil one is finally crushed. This is how, from the first prophecy in Genesis, that the seed of the woman, which you are now, I mean the seed of the woman,
yeah.
It's possible to have a seed of a woman. Women don't have seeds. They have eggs. It says this, in fact it says in the Hebrew, the sperm of the woman. is going to crush, overcome the head of the serpent. The serpent is bruised. Your heel, you walked weird.
Looked weird.
Looked weird. Acted weird. But now in your ears, this saying is fulfilled. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Nothing can change that, but you have to know your need for baptism, which is simply a type of knowing you're totally leprous, is another point.
So is the living water in the, what you call it?
In the earthenware. In the
right,
earthen
is that
vessel.
Just symbolic of what's inside your physical body?
The living water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, which is now your only act, your only doing. You just let it out. Makes life real simple.
So we're cleansed by the living water in our own vessel because of the knowledge that's okay. Just sprinkled back on us.
All it is. Okay, now.
That makes
it. So like that's the way that putting works. Living water in a fairly crummy earthen vessel makes it not that crummy.
But it's a new one. Now, two undomesticated sparrows are also brought. The two must be exactly alike in appearance, exactly alike in size, exactly alike in color, exactly alike in price, and they must have been purchased at exactly the same time. Two sparrows.
Probably cost a farthing.
Now, one of the two was slaughtered over the earthenware vessel containing the living water.
First, they just slaughtered, not sacrificed.
So that the blood went into that water. And then a hole was dug right in front of the leper standing there. And the sparrow was buried in the presence of the leper.
Wow.
And there wasn't one leper in Israel that was cleansed without him knowing that that was him that was being buried. There wasn't one time in time and space when one person at least didn't know this mystery. And when Christ was baptized, he knew that he then was typifying these two sparrows. The one was being buried. Son of Man is buried forever. Now go to Matthew. Chapter 10, I'm sorry. 10. Down in verse 24. Now, (clears throat) 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now,
We found out last night that there was no such thing as a human race. There's no such thing as Adam any longer. Now when you're sent forth after tonight, you are truly sent forth as a sheep, and you're sent forth to a wolf pack, hungry, ravening evening wolves. In order for you to exist in the wolf pack, you have to have the wisdom of a serpent, but be harmless as a dove. That's what it says. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. And the word harmless there doesn't mean harmless like you and I think about harmless. It means without guile or simple.
What is the wisdom of the serpent? Is there some particular kind of wisdom the serpent has?
It's like we already have that.
You don't worry about it.
Yes. It's a given we already started out with.
You started out with it. But beware of men. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues or churches. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. Now, this isn't just this is the governor and the king that's at the that's the checkout girl at the supermarket. I mean, you understand that? This is it. Wherever you are in your world, you will be forced into this position. Got it? But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you ever again speaketh, it is not you ever again that thinketh. It is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Let every man speak as the oracles of God. Got it? And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye unto another. For verily I say unto you, you shall have not gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above the Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. And the meaning of that, when the cloud is down, speak nothing. I mean, that's not something you have to struggle with. I mean, it's just the way of the being. Understand? What you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, the reason I know that all this was said to them as they were witnessing a cleansing of a leper is because of the following statement. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? and one of them shall not fall on the ground or into the ground without your Father. You understand?
Wow.
But the very hairs of your head are all numbered, and they're all going to get cut off. Why? You'll see in a minute. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. Now, we're not talking about, yeah, Jesus is Lord. To confess Jesus from now on before men means that you never, ever, ever, ever once take thought for what you're saying. You do not deny Jesus by saying he doesn't exist. You deny Jesus by saying you exist. Amen. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. And the word deny there, as you all know, means to build a dam. Whoever builds the dam or the walls of Jericho, and considers his thought and formulates the words and gets it just right, will be denied before by Christ before his Father which is in heaven. This isn't an optional phenomenon. It's the way it works. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Even this one. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now listen to this. From now on, he that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. What that means is, from now on, anybody that blesses you, the Father will bless. Anybody that considers you lightly, the Father will curse. Okay? Now, we haven't even started the cleansing process. Anybody that considers you lightly, the you is the real you. If your mind says it's a vain thing to serve the Lord, now you can understand Malachi. You will be cursed. How do you say it's a vain thing to serve the Lord? You do it very simply. I don't want to know that. Now next, the cedar wood. Hyssop. Who just walked out?
Pete.
Let's wait for Pete a minute. Do you all understand this so far?
Yeah.
So how do you say it's a vain thing to serve the Lord?
Hmm?
How do you say it's a vain thing?
Things aren't going like I want.
Being a different place than he's placed you.
Yes.
Things aren't going like I want them. Therefore, you have denied the mystery, you've denied his presence, you've denied the resurrection, and you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. From now on, honesty is going to take on a new dimension, isn't it?
Yeah,
you
could explain what it was without having to say all that. Yeah, other than that.
The purpose of this is to teach you the fear of the Lord so that you can have the beginning of the wisdom.
Yeah.
Next, cedarwood, hyssop, and scarlet wool were taken and bound together, the wool hanging lower. The scarlet wool must be longer than the cedarwood and the hyssop. The Talmud says, on what account is the leper cleansed with the aid of the tallest of the tall trees, the cedar? And it was, at that time, it's not this gnarly stuff that you see today. At the time of Christ and the time the scriptures were written, the cedars of Lebanon were like our redwoods, almost. And they've been, probably since the cross, they've been, well, what happened, that's not, I don't know all that, but they were the tallest of the tall trees, beautiful, straight. On what account is the leper cleansed with the aid of the tallest of the tall trees, the cedar, and with the lowest of the low tree, the hyssop? He had exalted himself like the cedar. Now he humbled himself like the hyssop. He had exalted himself as a lone tree in the forest. Tall, trying to get taller and taller and taller. But now he has humbled himself by allowing him to be a plank in the house of the Lord. Cedar was primarily used in the temple. The prescribed kind of hyssop is one that is either the Greek hyssop, nor the Stibium hyssop, nor the Roman hyssop, nor any kind of hyssop that has a name. Or that can be described in its appearance. It's the lowest of the low trees. Therefore, it can't be identified. You can't know what humility looks like. Because your humility is only on the basis of your understanding, which is stupid. And perverted. You got it?
Yeah.
What?
See, if you ask a question, I'll probably just blow up my nose.
The bundle of cedar and hyssop and scarlet, along with the tips of the wings and the tail of the living bird, were dipped together into the earthenware vessel with the living water and the blood of the first bird. You got that picture? That's important. This poor bird, he's got his wings down and his tail hanging, and he's wound up with all this scarlet and hyssop and cedar, and they're going to dip him. No, this is a living bird.
This is the living bird.
Now watch. This is neat. And this is all done like, I mean, the bird is in this guy's hand, his little head is sticking up.
And he's wrapped in hyssop?
No, he's not wrapped up, he's just held in this bunch of stuff. Okay, then, the leper's hand, the back of it, was sprinkled 7 times with that whole bundle that had just been dipped. 7 times mean it was dipped and then sprinkled, dip, sprinkled, dip, sprinkled, dip, sprinkled. 7 times. You got it? Now, there's great discussions over this, but I happen to believe it was done. That the sprinkling then was also done with this in the same way on his forehead. In the same manner as one sprinkled the lintel of the outside of a house from the outside for the Passover ceremony. Now, when he was about to be set free, the living bird, he did not turn his face towards the sea or towards the city or toward the wilderness, but he turned his face and let the bird go supports, by law, an open field. And that bird then, in its freedom, not going back to the judgment of the sea, nor going to the domicile of men of the city, or going to the domicile of Babylon, which is represented by the wilderness. The bird was set free into an open, beautiful field, preferably a field with flowers. And that typified the loosening or setting free, the sprinkling, and the course from now on of your conscience. Remember the thing in Hebrews? The blood of Christ has cleansed your conscience from dead works in order that you might serve as the free bird, the resurrected Christ, the living God.
So it's not like the old goat who was sitting,
he was set back to
the wilderness.
Yeah, this isn't,
it's
no.
It's a different kind of deal.
This represented the death of Christ, Son of Man, and the resurrection of Christ as Son of God. But it doesn't do any good unless you see that it's in you.
Amen. The leper saw the bird that was killed and buried as himself. And the leper saw the bird that was released
and free as himself. Never again to the old ways. I mean, he was, that's why the leper in the New Testament saw himself as healed.
Yeah, he saw the death of the old man, and the freedom of the new man.
He saw the resurrection. A little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the priest was about to cut off, when the priest was about to cut off the hair of a leper, he passed the razor over the whole of the skin. There's no hair left on the body. The reason, you've all heard the stories about Samson and the hair.
He had a handling too, to do that.
What?
He would have the handling.
Oh yeah, sure. The hair represents a covering. You understand? A spiritual covering. And so that every single hair, every single idea that you have about covering must be cut off. Now, it says it later, but if there were even two hairs left on the body, this entire ritual was invalid. Now, what do you see as your covering? What does covering mean to you? Most of you, you sort of think it's the body, or some of you think it's me, or... But that's just religious bullshit. Your covering has been the individual Sanhedrin that lived within your skull. The board of elders that guided you on every thought. The men of the ancients. They are the ones that were your, in truth, your spiritual covering. But they weren't spiritual. Do you understand? Do you understand that you have never had an original thought? That you've never done anything new? That every action you've ever taken has been directed to you by that board of governors? Do you understand? They have been your covering. Why did God create us with so much hair? To reveal to you the thousands and hundreds of thousands of places of covering in your life. Every hair must be cut off. Next time I hear one of you manly men take pride in how much hair you have on their body, why does a woman have so far less hair on her body than a man does? Spiritually, to indicate the covering is only the Father. Understand a little bit? What?
Just thinking about all the coverings that you've been, you know, intelligence, you're this, you're that, whatever.
The hair's on your head.
Now, once the razor has been passed over the entire body, then the leper is clean, so and he's gone through the bird stuff, and the hyssop stuff, and the cedar stuff, and the God stuff. Then he's cleansed so as to not to convey uncleanness by entering into a house or by sitting on his bed or on his seat. But even in this condition, he is still unclean. He conveys uncleanness like a dead creeping thing. He conveys uncleanness by contact with a man or with vessels. You understand? He's still in this, this is a period of like 7 days. You understand? This cutting off of the hair is the first day. So during that time, he can go into his own house and not make his bed unclean by sitting on it. But if he touches someone, he causes the other person to be unclean. If he enters a house where there are open vessels, then he conveys uncleanness to all of the open vessels. Now that's why none of you have had any success in evangelism. All you have done when you've entered another's house is to convey your own uncleanness into that house. Because those vessels, the only ones who would ever listen to you in the first place, were all uncovered. And all you've done thus far is to convey your own uncleanness to them.
Yeah, this explains a lot. Well, kind of, but I hope in this
that we have the, that this will be as clear to us as it was to the leper whom was the sparrow was buried at his feet, and that the entire cleansing, well, maybe to you, Doug, but it's not it's not clear to me that yet.
What
isn't clear?
The
whole process.
What isn't clear?
Well, I mean, I could, if it's the 7 days,
well, forget the days.
I can't help.
We're going to redeem the days.
Well, I can't separate out whenever you're talking about this.
We're redeeming the time. All of time and space is coming in to this point right now, this second.
Well, I want to see it as well as the guy that buried the sparrow in front of his feet. And I don't want to...
What don't you see?
Well, I'm not sure because it's, you know, I mean, you keep talking and more and... And I'm maybe because I'm afraid I'm not seeing. I'm as afraid of not seeing as I am of what you might say. You know, I mean, whenever I've spent most of the time looking to see whether or not there's, you know, I'm concerned about being leprous. Well, I know I'm leprous.
Okay.
I'm maxed out.
Okay. Well, relax.
Thanks.
he may enter within the wall of Jerusalem, but he can't go to his own house with his own wife. He's forbidden intercourse.
That explains a lot.
Now, after this period of time, the 7 days, all the hair is cut off a second time. Totally and completely cut off again. He washed his garments, and he underwent immersion. Now, there was a particular place of immersion for the lepers within the temple. It was in the area that it was near what they call the Nicanor Gate, which was between the court of women and the court of Israel. Okay? All this time, you know, he wondered, why in God's name can I get farther in this process? Because by the law of spiritual. Because by the law, a leper, even one that had gone through all of the cleansing stuff, could only enter. The closest he could enter was the court of women. No matter how hard he tried. Got it?
Oh, I was seeing something else too, why they were so, why lepers were so reviled, because getting leprosy and then going through all this was probably just, that would be a hated process.
Oh, yeah.
So you do anything to keep from it.
Now, after his hair was cut off the second time, then he no longer was considered by the Spirit as a creepy, crawling thing. In other words, he could no longer convey uncleanness by touching someone, or he couldn't convey uncleanness by being in a room with open vessels.
Were those the main two, open vessels and touching? Or there's some more?
Well, there's a lot. Read Leviticus 11:30. But don't. I mean, again, it's what I want you to see is the completed work of Christ. There's nothing that you have to do.
Yeah, Larry, that's all I wanted to say to you. When you said you were going to have touch, you didn't do jack to get there. And you don't have to do jack now to get anyplace else. Yeah, I mean, you're just here. You didn't do anything to get
there. Well, I guess whenever, you know, sometimes, you know, I go through this thing about understanding, and I can relax. You know, sometimes you'll say, you know, don't try and comprehend this with your mind, and let it speak to you. And then other times you'll say, you know, you've got to understand. And then, you know, it's like, ah, see. And yet I know that there's this whole other thing. There's this whole reality that's taking place within me that, you know, that I'm not affecting, that's not...
What did they have to go through all this process when it was just a spot and it turned out it wasn't leprosy? Did they still have to go through all this?
No, this process couldn't start until they were leprous, totally white, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet.
So they, in the interim time, no matter how many years it took,
they were just blown out. They were gone.
Could be never.
And when those guys ran into Jesus and they were cleansed, then he sent them to the priest to go through the process.
Yeah, they had to go through when the 10 lepers. Jesus, when he spoke to them, they became
totally
leprous. Okay, then they had to go through, they went to the priest and went through exactly what I am telling you here.
Yeah, if you think about it, I mean, if you come down, you got one spot of leprosy on your knee and you're said unclean and thrown out, then what are you going to pray for? You're going to pray that it spreads all over.
those are some of the things that I have questions about. So, will that interfere with this?
What?
What?
About the, whether the blood stuff.
That was really clear.
Yeah.
Well, whether they were healed or cleansed.
Yeah, and when this was done according to the,
It was primarily done at the pilgrimage feasts. If there was a spot of leprosy the size of half of a lintel, they were unclean. They were outside the camp. They were gone. They were history. And they had to go to a leper colony. If they had a spot of leprosy the size of half a lintel in their forehead, which all of you do, you were forever banned to be alone. You couldn't go to a leper colony. You could only be alone. That's the condition of the entire world. Until some idiot comes along and tells you, and you hear because you've been through the experiences, that your hand cannot cleanse you, your hand cannot get your dreams, your hand cannot find the things that you want. My God, the worst that I could ever imagine is true. I am totally leprous from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and there's no hope of cleansing. There's no hope of being healed. It had to be done in the temple. It couldn't be done at any other place. Therefore, it was done primarily at the time of the pilgrimage feasts. You need to think about this stuff
some
more.
This is probably the dividing line between my religion, as they say the leper can be healed.
This is one.
This is the dividing line.
Well, I know it wouldn't be in here if it wasn't for us to see. I pray that you'll have.
Go search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. Do I have anything else?
The thing you said about the leper, after the first shaving, that if he went into a place, a house where there were open vessels, he would convey his uncleanness to the vessels. He said, that's all I've ever been able to do. I know that's true. Yeah.
Is that when you set off?
I wouldn't set off about anything. I didn't understand. I just said, the only place, I know that there's something to be understood in this.
Well, when I said that all that you have ever been able to do is to convey your uncleanness to the open vessels that have been in your life, that's when you, what I perceived, responded.
I didn't have any kind of response to that. I mean, I think that's there's so much you've been saying, I couldn't identify one point over another. I guess I get overwhelmed by it. And for this, even this kind of thing, I mean, that's as good a reason as any. I have terror. I mean, I don't know how to.
Then stop trying to get it right. That's all you have to do. That's all you've ever had to do since the first day I met you. You don't have to get it right anymore. My God, can you imagine the position I would be in if I had tried to get it right? I mean, some of the stuff I say, I can't even believe it comes out of my mouth. I mean, can anybody relate to that?
Yeah.
If I ever thought about getting it right, I don't have to get it right. You don't have to get it right. You just have to face my wrath sometimes. My wrath is minuscule.
It's the test. It's supposed to be that way. Doesn't mean you have to get it right if you face my wrath.
This thing about, well, to Larry, this thing about conveying my uncleanness to the open vessels, I can't judge that to be bad. That's what had to happen. Those vessels had to get my uncleanness, see my uncleanness.
God's able to.
You can do nothing against the truth.
There's no judging that to be evil. There's temptation to do it, but there's no. That's what was necessary.
How does God make sin exceedingly sinful? I mean, that's, you know, we all use that phrase. Yeah, that's right. Give you an airy name. Larry, Gary, Harry.
It's true.
And Duggery. You don't have to get it right. If you think you have to get it right, then you're going to convey uncleanness. That is the definition of uncleanness. That's the definition of leprosy. That's the definition of apostasy. That's the definition of blasphemy. That's the definition of rebellion. But you can be so sincere in your rebellion. Oh, I got to get it right. Help me. I'm not going to help your rebellion.
Or has it become real yet? You know, but that's seeing lack.
Are we having fun yet?
Yes.
No, listen. The evidence, I mean, it's so simple. The evidence of your rebellion is that you take it seriously. No matter what I say to you. I mean, the evidence of your rebellion is you take yourself seriously.
And worse, take it seriously.
I mean, can you feel the freedom of what it would be not to despise the shame and take nothing seriously?
Yeah. Think about being the bird in the open field.
Great idea.
Yeah. I mean, it gets so friggin' boring to see you take yourself seriously. All of you, including Tyra, including Larry, including... You take yourself so seriously, your little shit is so important that the world stops for your rebellion. But you don't see it's rebellion. You see it as sincerity. I guarantee you the instant that you take yourself seriously, no matter how sincere you are, you're in a state of spiritual rebellion. Somebody get a little handle of that?
Mm-hmm. I plan to be insincere. Really. See, even that was a planned state. I confess it.
Should get it better.
It's a weird thing.
You got to come back to that position that he is going to will it and do it in you, that he will perform that which he hath appointed unto you to do. You simply present yourself the living sacrifice.
I thought you said the other night that your work is accomplished because you lost.
That's right. Can you now begin to understand why I've hated sincerity so much these years?
I just don't understand why you didn't say this years ago.
Time's going out for javelin catcher.
It's very important. Yeah, sitting behind me.